I am very delighted to be here once again this morning, and in light of what I am about to preach, I hope you never take for granted that you have a pastor who faithfully preaches the Word of God, because that's who Pastor Dave is. And so I'm going to invite you to pray with me just one more time this morning as I seek to open up God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. And in this moment, each of us are choosing to yield our lives to the ministry of the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God might take the Word of God and literally transform our lives into the very image and likeness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray this morning. Amen. Our country is imploding before our eyes. There is spiritual and moral decline that is occurring in our country at such an accelerated rate that it should be alarming and troubling to all of us this morning. And yet, as we look at the condition of our country, we must understand that our country's condition is an indictment on the Church of Jesus Christ. For the past 30 to 40 years, in the name of becoming culturally relevant, many of our churches have stopped preaching the Word of God. And as a result of that, the Church of Jesus Christ has not been the salt of the earth and the light of the world on the level that it needs to be. What is it that our country needs from the Church of Jesus Christ now more than ever before? Our country needs us to be preaching the Word of God and living the Word of God. There is no greater need in the Church of Jesus Christ in this hour than for us to be preaching the Word of God. The only hope for this country is revival in the Church of Jesus Christ. You need to understand that this morning. And the only hope for revival in the Church of Jesus Christ is when there is revival in our pulpits. Steve Lawson has made the following comments, and his comments are the spirit in which I come this morning. Lawson shared these words. He said, "The single greatest need in the Church of Jesus Christ in this hour is for men of God to take the Word of God and in the power of the Spirit of God to proclaim the Son of God to the people of God." That is our greatest need. And with that in mind, I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And as you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning, there are three urgent reasons why we must faithfully preach God's Word as never before, not only in the history of our country, but as never before in the history of York Bible Church. I'd like to begin reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul shares these words, not only with Timothy, but with us. He says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." My brothers and sisters in Christ, that time has already come in the church. "But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. I want you to consider the first urgent reason why we need to be preaching God's word this morning. It's simply this. We must faithfully preach God's word in light of the certainty of God's judgment. In light of the certainty of God's judgment. God is going to judge the ministry of every preacher. He is going to judge the church of Jesus Christ, and He is also going to judge this world. As you come to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning, please understand that the Apostle Paul is writing from a dungeon. He's writing from a prison cell. And he is sharing his heart with his beloved Timothy, his son in the faith. He is facing possible martyrdom in just a short period of time. And so as he comes to the end of his life and ministry, and as he pours his heart out to Timothy, here in chapter 4, there is one thing that he wants Timothy to get. There is one pressing priority that trumps all other priorities, and that priority is that Timothy would preach the word. In the immediate context of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul made a magnificent statement about the character of the Word of God in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. He said that all Scripture is God-breathed. And the idea is that all Scripture is sourced in God. All Scripture originates in God. And as I go to preach this morning, I am not preaching the words of a man. I am preaching the words of a living God. But there's something that Paul wanted Timothy to understand. He wanted Timothy to understand that the Word of God is the holy Word of God. It is the inerrant Word of God. It is the authoritative Word of God. It is the all-sufficient Word of God. He wanted to make sure that Timothy had a high view of Scripture. And with all that in mind, we flow in the chapter 4. Notice what he says in verse 1. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Now I want you to notice how he begins here. He says, I solemnly charge you. This highlights the seriousness of the charge. It highlights the gravity and the weightiness of Paul's charge to Timothy and also his charge to us as well. When Paul says, I solemnly charge you, he uses a military expression here. And this military expression was the kind of expression that was used when someone who was a high-ranking military person would issue an order, an authoritative, a non-negotiable order to a subordinate. Notice what he says here. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom. Paul's charge and God's charge to us this morning is issued from the very throne of God with the authority of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what he says here. He says here, we are to be preaching the word in the sight of God. As though God this morning, as I am preaching to you, is observing what is occurring as I am preaching the word to you. As though when there are those times that you take the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and you share that word with others, it is as though you are speaking in the presence of God with the very authority of God. That is our charge as well. But notice what it is that Paul highlights for Timothy and for us this morning. He says, he is to judge the living and the dead and by his appearing and his kingdom. At the return of Jesus Christ, he is going to judge all people. He is going to judge the living, and he is going to judge the dead. And there is a sense of imminency here, as though Jesus Christ is on the brink. It is as though Jesus Christ is to appear almost imminently at any moment, at any time. We know that the next major event in God's prophetic timetable is the rapture of the church that will be followed by the tribulation period. And Paul here alludes even to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And so there needs to be a sense of urgency this morning about us as we look at the state of our country and as we look at the state of our world. Just before the talk show host Larry King retired, he interviewed the pastor of the largest church in America. And on national TV, Larry King asked this pastor, he said, "Do you preach about sin? Do you preach about God's judgment?" And on national television, that pastor said, "No, Larry, never. I never preach about such things." He said, "My message is a positive message." We need to understand that in the Church of Jesus Christ in this hour, many of our pulpits have gone silent about the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man and the judgment of God. And Paul wants to make sure that Timothy understands those themes and those issues. And God wants us to understand this morning that those are the issues that we need to be proclaiming to this world. That's why missions is so important. That's why you understanding that you possess the single greatest message in this world is so important. But I want you to notice why we must be faithfully preaching God's word. Look at verse 1. He says, Christ Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. Understand that at his first coming, the Lord Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. But when he comes the second time, and he is coming, he is going to come as the Lion of Judah to judge this world. And judgment is coming to our lives as well. 2 Corinthians 5:10 expresses to us as believers that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, not for our salvation. Paul was clear about that in Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation to those of us that are in Christ Jesus, but our lives will be reviewed. And we are accountable to Jesus Christ for the lives that we're living. What are we doing with our time and our treasures and our talents? And what are we doing with the Word of God? And what are we doing even with the ministry of York Bible Church? A judgment is coming to the Church of Jesus Christ, and we need to be sobered by that. And there's another judgment that's coming. In Revelation chapter 20, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that judgment, the world will be judged and people will be cast eternally into the lake of fire. Those are the issues that are before us. Now, we know that no man knows the time, the day, the hour of the Lord's return. But there are many people who, in this very hour that I am preaching to you, many people are looking at biblical prophecy, and many people are projecting that we're in the 11th hour. Now, whether it is 1101 or 1159, I think as we look at the state of our country and as we look at what is happening throughout the world, we need to be understanding that judgment is coming to this world. And a part of our mission this morning, as we are being exhorted to faithfully preach the Word of God, we must make certain that we are taking seriously the words of Paul. So let your eyes fall one more time on verse 1. Listen carefully. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. What are the issues when a man stands in the pulpit, as I am standing in a pulpit this morning? What are the issues when you take the word of God and seek to share the truth of God's word with your families and your friends and your neighbors and those that you work with? Let me tell you what the issues are. The issues are issues of life and death. The issues are issues of heaven and hell. The issues are issues of eternal bliss or eternal condemnation and damnation. The stakes could not be any higher. And so this morning, as I stand in a pulpit that does faithfully preach the Word of God, I want to encourage you as a congregation to understand that we need to be faithfully preaching the Word of God because judgment is coming. It is coming to this world, and we do not need to be apologizing for that reality. Now, there's a second thing that I want to share with you this morning, and it relates to why there needs to be an urgency for us to be preaching God's Word. I want you to think about this second reason why. We must faithfully preach God's Word in light of the danger of turning away from biblical truth. We are living in a time of apostasy, a time when many are departing from biblical truth. Many are falling away from biblical truth. And so as we find ourselves here in 2 Timothy 4, as we look at verses 2 through 4, what is it that we are to be preaching? Well, the Word of God says we are to be preaching the Word. Now, when you look at 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5, there are 9 imperatives, 9 commands in the Greek text that the Apostle Paul shares with Timothy. Now, in order to really understand this text, please understand that the major overarching command is the command to preach the Word. That is our mandate. That is our commission. That is the charge that the Apostle Paul is giving to Timothy, but he's also giving that charge to each and every one of us. But the next 8 commands are commands that reveal to us how we are to be preaching God's Word. The major overarching command, preach the Word. The next 8 commands, the next 8 imperatives, are how we are supposed to be preaching the Word. We are to be ready. We are to reprove and rebuke and exhort. We are to be sober. We are to be enduring hardship. We are to be doing the work of an evangelist. We are to be fulfilling our ministry. Now, I want you to look at verse 2, and as you begin to focus on verse 2, I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul defines what biblical ministry is in one central command. Let your eyes see that this morning. And notice what that one central command is. He says, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Now, when you look at that little expression, preach the Word, the Apostle Paul is using a verb, the verb to preach or to proclaim, which literally means to herald or to proclaim with authority. He doesn't say, preach the Word apologetically. He says, no, preach the Word with power. Preach the Word with authority. Now, in New Testament times, before there were things like CNN, people had to communicate differently. So in New Testament times, there were individuals that were called imperial heralds. And these are people who would go throughout the towns and the villages in New Testament times, and they would speak on behalf of a king or on behalf of an emperor. And there was some accountability. Whatever the message of the king or the emperor was, somebody always followed to make sure that they were communicating exactly what it was that the king's message or edict was. And when these people were taught to be the imperial herald of the king, they were taught to speak their message with authority because they spoke on behalf of the king. With passion. They were taught to speak their message with boldness and with intensity and with fervency. Now, with all that in mind, I want you to look at verse 2. Paul says to Timothy, he says, preach the word. He's saying, I want you to preach the word with authority and with boldness. I want you to preach the word with intensity. I want you to preach the word with fervency. I want you to preach the word without fear, without apology, without hesitation. But notice what it is that we are to be preaching. He says, preach the word. And that definite article is important. He says, preach the word. He's referring to the word of God. He says, preach the word. He's referring to the scriptures. He says, preach the word. He's describing the revealed truth of God as it is found on the pages of God's word. But here's what Paul wants us to understand this morning. He says to us, preach the word. Preach the word in its completeness. Preach the word without alteration. Preach the word without addition and without subtraction. We are to be preaching the word. Notice what he doesn't say. He says, preach the word. He doesn't say, preach pop psychology or preach sociology. He doesn't say, preach politics. He doesn't say, preach the latest trends. And I have just described most of the Church of Jesus Christ, because that's where most of the church is this morning. But I want you to notice something else. He says, preach or proclaim or herald the word. He doesn't say, whisper the word. He doesn't say, chat the word. He doesn't say, lecture the word. He doesn't say, in the year 2022, you can't preach the word with authority anymore. So just pretend that you're having a cup of coffee with those that you preach to. And just have this nice, pleasant conversation with them. It's not what he says. Young preachers all across this country are being taught in this hour not to preach with authority anymore. They're being taught to go light on biblical doctrine and biblical theology. And because of that reality, the church has lost its power. And so this morning, York Bible Church, the Spirit of God through the Word of God, has a very clear message for this church. And the message is, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And don't apologize for preaching the word. Faithfully and courageously preach the word. At the end of Matthew chapter 1, and this happened on a number of occasions in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, people listened to Christ preach. And this was their response. They were amazed. And their amazement was that he spoke and he preached as one who had authority. That's how we are to be speaking and that's how we are to be preaching. But now we need to ask the question, when are we to preach the word? Well, we have the answer here in verse 2. Notice what he says here. He says, be ready. Another military term. He basically says, be on high alert. Stand by. Be ready. Notice with the sense of urgency, he tells us when we are to preach the word. He says we are to be preaching the word in season and out of season. Now, what do you think that means? All the time. I mean, we are either in season or out of season. There is no other season. And so Paul says, preach the word all the time, whether it is convenient or not, whether the crowds are big or small, whether they like you or not, whether they are criticizing you or celebrating you. Preach the word. But I want you to notice the tones that we are to be preaching the word in. Notice, and this is important in verse 2, he says reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Notice the first verb, we are to be reproving. That has the idea of exposing doctrinal and moral error with the goal of correcting false teaching or sinful behavior. Now, that's pretty strong. But believe it or not, the second verb is even stronger. He says not only are we to be reproving, but he says rebuke. This is a stronger verb that actually speaks of confronting sinful behavior. And as you're confronting sinful behavior, you are literally calling people to biblical repentance. Now, that's pretty strong. But then there's a third word that he uses, and I love this. It's the word exhort. It's the idea of coming alongside of others, you know, those who are hurting, and bringing comfort to their lives and support to their lives, pleading with them to pursue God's will and God's direction for their lives. We are to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort. Notice the next expression, with great patience. We need to be doing this and with endurance and perseverance. And then he says, and with instruction. He's talking about the faithful teaching of God's word. But as we move now into verse 3, there is a sobering warning that the Apostle Paul has for us. Notice what it is. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure. Literally, the idea is they're not going to put up with, notice the next expression, sound doctrine. You might say, Mark, what is sound doctrine? Well, sound doctrine is strong, healthy, vibrant, solid biblical teaching. The kind of teaching that confronts sin while refusing to compromise biblical standards and truth in a culture that is violently rejecting the truth of God. I want you to notice the next word. It's the word but. This is a word of contrast. And notice what he says. He says, wanting to have their ears tickled. You might say, Mark, what does that mean? It means our churches are filled with people who are basically saying to their pastors and to their preachers, tell us what we want to hear. Tickle our ears. Tickle our ears. Make us feel as comfortable on a Sunday morning as we can possibly feel. Hey, we don't need to hear that old Bible stuff all the time. Why don't you give us something that's new, something that's novel, something that's tantalizing, something that will tickle our ears? And sadly, notice the next expression. And they will accumulate. And the idea is that they're going to stockpile for themselves. Notice, teachers in accordance to their own desires. No, not God's desires, not God's will, not God's plan, not God's program for their lives, but teachers that will tell them about themselves and their will and their plan and their program for their lives and even for the church of Jesus Christ. And so we need to ask the question this morning, where does a departure from biblical truth lead us? Where does moral and theological compromise lead us? And he tells us specifically in verse 4. He says, and they will turn away their ears from the truth. Paul now picks up a medical term here. The idea of turning away described a dislocated joint. And what Paul's saying here is that their hearts and their minds will reject God's truth And while they are rejecting God's truth, they will become spiritually dislocated. They will be out of joint in their thought processes, in their decision making, and in the way that they live their lives. Now notice where all this leads. The end of verse 4. And they will turn aside to something. They will turn aside to myths. In essence, they'll turn aside to the devil's lies, to religious superstitions, but not to the Word of God. There is a current crisis in the Church of Jesus Christ that needs to alarm us this morning. And that crisis is the lack of biblical, the lack of theological discernment that reigns in the church in this hour. What is biblical discernment? Biblical discernment is the ability to distinguish the truth from error from a doctrinal standpoint. Biblical discernment is the ability to make a distinction between what is morally right and what is morally wrong. And it is the Word of God that is always our ultimate authority in making those judgments. But we're living in a day where there is moral and there is theological compromise on so many fronts that many in the Church of Jesus Christ have lost their ability to discern truth from error doctrinally and to discern what is right and what is wrong morally. Why do we need to be preaching the Word of God faithfully? Because of all the things that the Apostle Paul is sharing here. This is why Jude in Jude 3 said, we need to keep on contending for the faith that was once delivered for the saints. We need to keep fighting and fighting and fighting for the truth. And let me share something with you this morning. Living with a biblical worldview is harder today in this culture than it has ever been before, and it's going to get a lot harder. But I have a third and final reason why we need to be urgently preaching the Word this morning. Notice what that third reason is. Listen carefully. We must faithfully preach God's Word in light of the opposition, in light of the opposition that we will face in ministry. It was in the previous chapter where Paul said to Timothy, listen, all who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. Now, I want you to put yourself in Timothy's shoes. Here's Timothy, he's about to lose his mentor. He's out there doing ministry, and he keeps saying to himself, you know, they never taught me what I was supposed to do in Bible college and seminary when I face some of the things that I'm facing. And I'm living in a culture where the truth of God is being rejected in unrighteousness. And Timothy is discouraged. Just think of being Timothy. I mean, he has every reason to think about throwing in the towel. Boy, this is a lot harder than I ever thought it was going to be. Now, I want you to notice in verse 5 that there are four more commands that Paul brings to Timothy's life to encourage him, to renew his commitment to the Word of God and to ministry. And I want these commands to renew your commitment to York Bible Church, your commitment to the authority of the Word of God, your commitment to live the rest of your life for eternity. Notice the four commands. Verse 5. He said, but you, and I can see Paul the mentor taking this finger and saying, Timothy, you make sure you get this, but you, Timothy, my son in the faith, he says, but you, notice, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now notice the first command. He says to Timothy, be sober in all things. Timothy, be sober-minded. I want you to stay level-headed. I want you to stay well-balanced. I don't want you throwing in the towel. I don't want you to cave in to those who want you to compromise your message. Timothy, you keep preaching the word. But then he says something else to him. Notice what else he says. He says, endure hardship. He's saying, Timothy, understand that you've got to persevere in the midst of opposition. And you need to understand as a church that if you are going to take a stand for the Word of God in the kind of culture that we're presently living in, there is going to be persecution. There is going to be opposition. And what Paul is saying to Timothy and to us, we need to persevere in spite of that opposition. We need to keep preaching the Word. But then he says something else. Notice what it is. He says, do the work of an evangelist. He says the task of proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus to others, that task never ends. Whether you are a preacher, whether you are a child of God, we need to keep proclaiming the gospel, doing the work of an evangelist. Hey, Timothy, you keep on preaching the word. And then he shares this final thought. He says, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Carry the charge that you were given to preach the word. Fulfill your ministry. Bring it to a completion. Don't let anything deter you or get in the way of you fulfilling your calling. And if Pastor Dave is listening at the moment, in spite of the horrific accident that he recently had, what we want to say to Pastor Dave today is, Pastor Dave, when you get back, just keep on preaching the word faithfully like you've always preached the word. Fulfill your ministry. Bring it to a completion. Now, I need to pause with you for just a moment. You need to understand something this morning. Everybody in this country has a right to express their views, whatever it is that they think, as radical as it may be. Everybody has that right and privilege in this country, except one group of people. The people I'm preaching to this morning. So I want you to be prepared. Persecution is coming. And if you stand on the authority of God's word and you continually and faithfully proclaim the word of God in this culture, people are going to accuse you of being ignorant. They're going to accuse you of being unenlightened. They're going to accuse you of being narrow-minded and uneducated. They are going to accuse you of being a bigot. They're going to accuse you of being intolerant. They are going to accuse you of being a hater of all kinds of groups of people. And that is not who we are. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and we are to reflect the character of Jesus Christ. We are to be bringing the touch of Jesus Christ and a sense of His presence to others. We need to speak the truth in love. The truth is offensive, but that doesn't give us permission to be offensive. But understand something. It is going to get much harder than it is in this hour. And we need to be prepared. And we need to hear these words from Paul to Timothy. In the midst of all the challenges he was facing, in the midst of all the challenges that we are about to face, preach the word. 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 It is the only thing that can save sinful human beings. It is the only thing that can sanctify the people of God, the Word of God. Now, what do you do with a message like this? Well, by way of application, briefly, I want to share three things with you. Number one, by way of application. This message is a reminder. This message is a reminder that the world is on a collision course with the sovereign judge of the universe. Take note. Be reminded this morning that when voices are telling you this world is so totally out of control, you call a timeout and you say, not at all. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign king and ruler of all creation. He is on his throne. And everything that is happening in this world right now is moving to a point. It is moving to that time where he is coming back to take us, his church, to be with himself. I was recently asked by someone, Mark, it's just terrible. Where do you think we're headed? I said, I'll tell you exactly where we're headed. We're headed to a point in time where every single knee is going to bow and every single tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. This world is on a collision course with the sovereign judge of the universe, and there is great opportunity for us to proclaim the truth in the midst of all that is dark that surrounds us. Number two, there's a second application that I want you to think about. This message is not only a reminder, but significantly, this message is a warning. So be warned. This message is a warning that we're living in an age of biblical apostasy. I'm not talking about the sinful world out there. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ that is marked with theological compromise everywhere. A church that no longer believes in the holiness and the inerrancy and the authority and the sufficiency of the Word of God. A world that thinks we need to ask what the world wants in its church experience and then we give it to them, thinking that that's going to alter their eternal destinies. Hey, there are a lot of places where there are big crowds this morning. I'm not sure biblical discipleship is happening in most of those settings. And I am not sure that the Word of God is being preached in many of those settings. But that's for another sermon. Let me share what Paul wrote to Timothy earlier. He said this. He said, "But the Spirit explicitly says in the last days, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." And then Paul exhorted Timothy and he said, "Hey, pay close attention. Pay close attention to yourself, the way that you live, and to your teaching. Be warned." But the third and final application before we come to the Lord's table is simply this. This message is not just a reminder. It's not just a warning. This message is a call. It's a call to all of us this morning. This message is a call to courageously fight our opposition in the power and in the truth of God. Hey, we need to be putting on the armor of God every day, but we don't fight in our own strength and power. We fight in the power and in the truth of God. So my final exhortations as we bring this message to a close is this. To a country that is suppressing the truth of God in unrighteousness, to a country that not only tolerates sin and unrighteousness, but to a country that now legislates sin, unrighteousness, and immorality, I say this to you. Preach the word. Preach the word. To a church that no longer endures sound doctrine, to a church that has itching ears, preach the word. Preach the word. To a generation that has gone astray, preach the word. Preach the word. To a time of moral crisis, we're in that time. Preach the word. Preach the word. To a time where false teachers abound, and they do, preach the word. Preach the word. To those who don't want to hear the truth, preach the word. Preach the word. And may I end on this note. Until our dying breaths, until we no longer have a breath to breathe, when we stand on the threshold of death, my exhortation for you this morning is Paul's exhortation to Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. What else is there? There is nothing else. There is nothing like this book. Why does your Bible church exist? God has spoken this morning. He hasn't stuttered. This is why. Why has God not taken each and every one of us home yet? Because that's where our citizenship is. That's our true homeland. It's because we need to keep preaching His Word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the power of Your Word. It is the Word that has brought salvation to our lives. It is the Word that sanctifies us and causes us to experience the single greatest experience on this planet, and that is the transformation of our lives into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. It is the Word that saves. It is the Word that sanctifies. It is the Word that sets people free. Father, thank You that You have spoken to us so clearly about why York Bible Church exists this morning. Thank You for speaking to us so clearly about why we continue to have breath this morning. It's because You want us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that we might faithfully proclaim the Word of God to this world that so desperately needs it. Father, inspire us through Your Spirit. Motivate us through Your Spirit. Empower us through Your Spirit to believe that we can make an eternal difference in this world as we take Your Word and as we preach Your Word and live Your Word out before those who so desperately need it. To the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And God's people said, amen.